turn with me, if you wish to follow along, to Leviticus chapter 16. This is the context from which I have my message this morning. Leviticus chapter 16. The context is the Day of Atonement. These are the beginning words concerning the Day of Atonement. There are more in other books, but this is the basics, the foundation of the Day of Atonement. There's a context here, as is in most different sections. If you divide them out in the book of Leviticus concerning different sacrifices, there's generally either a beginning summary or an ending summary. And here is the summary, Leviticus chapter 16, verse 29. "This shall be a statute forever unto you." And it is. And it is.
Yes, sir.
It was fulfilled in and by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But it's still a statute forever. And I believe I have to stop there. This shall be a statute forever unto you, that in the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month," and that was always to be the case.
Yeah.
"On the tenth day of the month," think about this next couple phrases, "ye shall afflict your souls,"
yeah,
"and do no work at all."
That's right. Amen.
Now, let's throw this out there. Is that not a contradiction? Huh? This is what the flesh always accuses God of.
Yeah.
Now, I can be contradictory. God is not contradictory.
That's right.
God's wisdom is far above what we think our wisdom to be. But He says, "Ye shall afflict your souls and do no work at all, whether it be one of your own country or a stranger that sojourneth among you." But notice, it's only for the stranger that sojourneth among you.
Yeah.
Now, I'll make a couple statements here. I know some may want to fight about it later or debate it, but I don't debate. I'm not here to debate. This wasn't for a Canadian.
There you go.
I'm talking about an indigenous North American native of that day, and we're told that they lived over here for hundreds, if not thousands, of years. Indigenous peoples did in North America. This was not for a Canadian, unless that Canadian somehow found himself or herself all the way over in Asia and living with the people of Israel in that day.
Right.
Then it could apply to them.
Yeah.
They would still be a stranger, but only if they were sojourning with the congregation of Israel. I think some of you already know what this means, but I'll probably not even will deal with that. "For on that day shall the priest make an atonement for you," and the priest is proper because only the priest, and we could even say the high priest, they could have actually put the high priest, because only the high priest was going to do this on this day, the Day of Atonement. "And on that day shall the priest make an atonement for you, to cleanse you, that ye may be clean from all your sins before the Lord." And yet, they offered sacrifices daily for sins.
Exactly. That's right.
Another seeming contradiction to the flesh. The answer is this: it took all of these shadows, these types, these figures, just to shadow the one great work of Jesus Christ.
Amen. That's right.
"For on that day shall the priest make an atonement for you, to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. It shall be a Sabbath of rest unto you." Almost redundant, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sabbath means what? Rest.
Yeah.
It shall be a rest of rest.
Yeah.
That's what he's saying. "It shall be a Sabbath of rest unto you. Ye shall afflict your souls by a statute forever." In other words, don't ever get over this.
Yeah, that's right.
Don't ever get over this. "And the priest whom he shall anoint, and whom he shall consecrate to minister in the priest's office in his father's stead, shall make the atonement, and he shall put on the linen clothes, even the holy garments, and he shall make an atonement for the holy sanctuary, for make an atonement for the tabernacle, the congregation, the altar, the priest, and all the people of the congregation. And this shall be an everlasting statute unto you to make an atonement for the children of Israel for all their sins once a year. And he did as the Lord commanded Moses. That's the summary of the Day of Atonement. My title is this: Christ's Atonement. Keep my hands off. Now that's my title. But you are not off the hook. This is not going to be a testimony meeting about myself. Or as Tim James calls them, bragamony meetings. You ever been in the religion where they have the testimony meetings?
Oh, yeah.
And basically everybody gets up and basically relives their old days, but then thanks God that he delivered them from them.
Yeah.
Tim calls them bragamony meetings. I think that's probably a more befitting title to it. Christ's atonement, keep your hands off.
Amen.
Don't you touch it. Don't you touch it. All about the Day of Atonement. And there's so much here. We could spend months here. But all about the Day of Atonement, whether it's the holy place, the veil, the cloud upon the mercy seat that came down on this one day a year, the bullock and the ram, that is the first bullock and ram, and the garments that the high priest was to wear, the two goats, another ram, and etc., etc., etc. The tabernacle itself, the altar, the holy of holies, all of these things played a part. All of these things, they picture Jesus Christ. You all know that here.
Amen.
I really say this and give this. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 6 through 9, speaks about this specific day.
Yes, sir.
And calls it a figure for the time then present.
Exactly.
It proved that the way to God was not really made yet, other than in God's eternal purpose in the person of His Son.
Amen.
All of these things picture Christ. But I want to concentrate on this four aspects this morning. One is a default. It's not really dealt with directly, but it's a default in light of the context and in light of all the sacrifices, as a matter of fact. But we'll look at four aspects. I'll give you the default and three examples. Number one, again, as I said, these are pictures, types, shadows, but all this picture detail. All this, remember, it's a figure detail or shadow. And these things each are just a shadow. So it only gives us an outline of the real thing. Christ came along and said, here's the real thing.
Amen.
And who he was and what he done gave us the whole detail of what all these things shadow or figure or picture. But all this picture detail does this. It exposes me. It exposes you. It exposes anybody who ever hears this in any other venue.
Exactly.
All of this detail exposes me. That's the default. Eden's events were real.
Amen.
Adam fell in the garden. Not a physical fall, but a spiritual fall.
Amen.
And Adam died spiritually. And it's more than just this, although it is this, because Adam died spiritually, and because the order of God is that all things would bring forth after its own kind, then everything born to Adam after Adam fell was born into the state into which Adam fell. But it's more than that. When Adam fell, that day he partook of that fruit, you and I were made sinners that day. And we did not even exist then.
Amen.
Wherefore as by the disobedience of one man. His disobedience.
Yes,
many were, not are being made, many were made sinners. I am corrupt. These things, all of them, and specifically, this Day of Atonement exposes my corruption, my sin, my need. I am so sinful, God demands, here in the context, keep your hands off.
Amen.
The high priest don't need any help.
Exactly. Amen.
And we'll give you the other two. There's the second point. I'm giving you the default right now. Here's the next thing. The high priest needs no help.
Amen.
You just go afflict your souls and rest. A conundrum to some, I understand. But I understand that. At least I can relate to it. I may not be able to, God help me, I may not be able to define it to you in words, but I can relate to what God's talking about here. Afflict your souls and rest at the same time. Somebody else is doing all the work.
Amen.
You see it? So the high priest is doing this all by himself. The fit man does what he does all by himself. But there's another man mentioned here, or a person, I should at least say, to be fully honest. That is, there is one who carries forth the carcass, the skin, and the dung, and the guts, and all of that stuff.
Yes, sir.
There's a fit man. He does it, and it's amazing when you look at the passage, he does it all by himself. But when he does it all by himself, everybody said to do it in him.
Exactly.
That's an amazing thing. Think about it, though. I'm not done with this default yet. It exposes us.
Yeah.
People don't know how hard it is to stand in this place.
Yeah.
There are times when I wish, when we gathered on Sunday mornings, that every one of you had to do this for about 2 years. I really do. Because it ain't just get up in the morning, I got my notes. Oh, I've had these notes prepared for weeks now since we missed last Sunday. But the psyche is drained. Because I know I've got to stand here and speak for God.
Exactly.
And I know when I do, I have to do so even if I know it might offend you.
Yeah.
Or maybe even thousands that hear us over the internet or on TV.
Yeah.
And I am but a fallen, sinful, corrupt man. And what I say and the words I use, my psyche wants to run away from those things. These, one man's starting to learn it. Another one's been learning it for a while. Been trying to do it for 35 years. When you approach this place in the proper attitude, your mind's focused on one thing. Why? Because I am a sinful, I'm just a clay pot. Up here trying to speak for God. And I know how brash I can be. I was mentioning to my wife this morning a word I used. And if I put it on there now, it'll go right on TV. I might as well put it on there. I went and preached at a place and I used the word Kotex. Ain't been back to preach since. Now that don't mean I'm not coming back because I'll use that word. But I sit and think all the time, Joe, I wish to happen to use that word.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
But what if I'd have said it's poise? Would that have been softer?
Yeah, exactly.
But that's what the book talks about our righteousness as being. Menses cloths. Hmm?
Yeah.
Now that may be the more couth way to say it, but at least when people hear me say it, they know what I'm saying. We had one lady one time was offended when I talked about menstrual cloths. But folks, that's what the book of God calls them. Our KJV softens it a little. But that's what it's saying. You see, the very fact that this one man had to go offer this sacrifice, and he had to do it, this man, Aaron, or his preceding sons in procession, as they died off, another one was appointed, they had to offer sin for themselves, and then go offer a sacrifice for their own sin, then a sacrifice for themselves, and had to do this every year, over and over and over. Then there were countless thousands offered throughout the year.
Exactly. Yeah.
That exposes me for how bad I am. If it took all of that just to shadow my Lord Jesus Christ, can you imagine what He really went through leading up to and on that tree? Mac, we can't put it in words. What He really went through to be made sin and at the same time still be the one who was just. Really just.
Yeah.
He's absolutely just and yet made sin. I can't even put it into words.
Exactly.
But this exposes me. I am commanded to do something while I do nothing.
Yeah.
Am I not? Isn't that what this says?
Yeah.
I'm commanded to do this. Afflict your souls, but then don't do no work at all. And you're going to afflict your soul the whole time this is going to say, okay, do this little work and then quit working. That's not what he says. Is it? Yet religion will say, well, you do this little thing first. Oh, God's done all he can do. Now it's up to you. Or, well, if you'll just do this, then God will do that.
Yeah.
That's the way they preach this. That's not what this teaches.
No, sir. Exactly.
That's not what this teaches. Hebrews chapter 4 puts it this way. If you wish to follow along, turn, but once I get there, I'm going to move quickly. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 9 reads this way. There remaineth therefore a Sabbath, a rest to the people of God. There is a rest.
Yes.
Some have, as it says here, we'll deal with that. They have entered into that rest. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God.
Amen.
For he that is entered into his rest has also ceased from his own works as God did from his. And most people, okay, you do your work, then you're done, right? That's easy enough to understand. But then look at this next statement. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. What? I thought I should just rest. Right? And then religion says, well, get your work done. If you try by the labor of your actions to get this done before you rest, your actions will never be accomplished as righteous in God's sight, and you will die trying to labor to enter into that rest by your actions.
Yeah.
This is a labor of attitude, not action.
There you go.
That's what it is. Just like this affliction wasn't, they're supposed to beat themselves with some kind of whips. It's afflict. Mourn what you are. Let me just give it to you in a physical. Think of all the animals that's just going to die on this day just for you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Animals that have nothing to do with your crimes against God.
Exactly.
And they got to die this day without reprieve.
Yes, sir.
Not even 1 year of reprieve. And then there are countless thousands others.
Yeah.
And then Jesus Christ himself, the fulfillment of all these things, came and became us.
Amen.
I know this is a conundrum to most, but it's a reality to the elect who've been called by God's grace.
Yes, sir.
You see, my affliction of myself is this, to mourn my corruption. To mourn my wretchedness. To be ashamed of my sinfulness. To bemoan what I am in myself. And this is but submission to God's way. Is it not? You afflict yourself. You don't do any work at all. I can relate to that. I can relate to that. First example. Second aspect. Our high priest made a one-day atonement. This day of atonement was 1 day a year. The scripture says in Galatians 4:4-5, basically these words, In the fullness of the time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. And He was born the exact same moment that He was supposed to be born. But it also goes on and says that born under the law, that He might redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons.
Amen.
So His day of redemption, this day of atonement, happened on the exact same day, at the exact same moment that God Almighty purposed it would be.
Amen.
As a matter of fact, it takes a lot of technical study of the Scripture in some respect. One thing many Jews, especially the leaders amongst the Pharisees, they wanted Jesus of Nazareth dead.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But as time got closer to that time, to the time, they said, there's one day we can't kill him on.
That's right.
But Jesus kept on preaching the truth.
Yes, sir.
He kept on preaching the truth. More publicly. Then he comes into Jerusalem on the very week that is to take place. And he keeps pressing the issue of the truth and turns them into such a fevered pitch of hatred against him that they crucified him on the very same day that they swore they could not crucify him on. Why? Because there was a day of atonement for him to die on. Now you think he did this just as a possibility? You think Jesus Christ did that just so maybe a good group of people might just let him have his way and they might believe on him? No, he did it that we might receive the adoption of sons. Who? Those who were his children even beforehand. Go back and look at Galatians chapter 4. August Strong, he lived from 1836 to 1921, wrote these words. We better praise God that he saves any than charge him with injustice because he saves so few. If God even saves one, Jesus Christ had to be and do everything he did.
Amen. That's exactly right.
Our high priest secured our submission to him.
Amen.
I've got to read this one. Hebrews chapter 9. And Hebrews is such a glorious companion book to the book of Leviticus. But look at just Hebrews chapter 9. And let me find my spot. Hebrews 9. Verse 12, it is talking about the Day of Atonement thing. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, it's talking about Christ, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us, not offered it, he didn't make it so he could offer, he obtained our eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies to the purifying of the flesh. And it did. Naturally speaking, in the order of the ceremonies, it did what it's supposed to do for that year. And of course, the heifer here is for the red heifer, which was at another time. But look, how much more religion, free will religion, don't deal with that, do they? How much more, what's that next word, shall.
Amen.
How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, do what? Purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God.
Amen.
That sacrifice he offered back yonder, folks, it saves some people.
Amen.
It saves some people. Second example, third aspect, Christ is our fit man. I didn't read this one. Let me read it. I'll try to move. Christ is our fit man. Chapter 16 of Leviticus 16, verse 21, 22. And Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat. Remember, there are two. One is slaughtered, offered up to God. It's the Lord's goat. The second one's called the scapegoat. Now, it's still the Lord's. But the one died before the Lord. The other one lives. But look what happens. And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat. And who's Aaron? The high priest. Who's the high priest? Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Who's the goat? It's still him.
Amen.
But he is identifying with a human, or with the creation.
Amen.
Christ identified with us. Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions in all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send them away by hand of a fit man into the wilderness. And he lets that goat go.
Yes, sir.
And he's a fit man. He knows to take it in a place where that goat will never find its way back. Now, do that today. If we were to obey God under the law today, PETA would have us all on TV with our names and addresses exposed. Would they not? Now, yes or no?
Yeah, you're right.
But let me tell you something. Humanity did far more to God Almighty's goat.
Amen.
The scapegoat.
Yeah. Amen.
Psalms 103 puts it this way. And this is David. Probably a few hundred years later. Psalm 103. And verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. That's not us, is it? Well, all it takes is just somebody to Somebody just to light our fuse. And always, we light both. You light my fuse, I light your fuse.
There you go. Oh, yeah.
Right. Don't we? That's all it takes. Psst, spark. Fuse lit. But the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger. We better be glad He's slow to anger.
Amen.
Plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins. Somebody said, well, God's punished me for what I did. God ain't touched you yet for your sins.
That's exactly right.
If God were to punish you right now for your sins, He'd take your last breath and He'd send you to hell forever.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Now that's punishment for your sins.
Yeah.
In this world, we all reap what we sow. And that's not going to change. It didn't change for King David, did it?
No.
Didn't change for you? God forgave King David of his sin, but blood stayed in his house from that time on. Did it not?
Yes,
and what we reap, we shall sow, period.
Yes,
but God hath not dealt with us according to our iniquities. Aren't you glad? For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that do what? Fear Him. And what's that mean? It means to believe Him.
Amen.
Same thing. To trust Him. To follow Him.
Yeah.
To obey Him. To submit to Him. All those words mean the same thing. Because they all have Jesus Christ as its central looking place.
Amen.
Central. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. So if you, on this globe, start going east, I know we'd like to divide it up into eastern hemisphere, western hemisphere, but listen to me, if you on this globe get right on the equator and start heading east, you will continue to go east.
Yes, sir.
I don't care if you walk for the rest of your life. If you start east, you'll always be walking east. And you'll never start walking west. Unless you turn an about face and start walking the other way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That lets me know that I cannot, God doesn't put a delineation on east from west. He said it's a no man's land. Can't find it. Can't find it. As far as the east is from the west, so far have removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame. He remembers we are nothing but what? He made us out of what? Dust.
Amen.
Dust.
That's it.
Dust. We best keep our hands off, hadn't we? The fit man carried the fit man took the live goat out into the wilderness where that thing would just die off out there by itself. He's the fit man for sure. He's fit in his humanity. He was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. Yet He was fully human flesh. Isn't that amazing? That's Hebrews 26:28. And in His divinity, I'm not going to read it to you. Colossians 1:15-19, He has in His control everything that exists. From the minutest, most insignificant thing that ever happens in the universe to the thing that rubs your crawl the most in this life. God Almighty has it in His sovereign control. And if it's a war or not a war with Iran, it's a war or not a war with Iran. That's God Almighty's business.
Yes, sir.
He's ordained politicians to deal with that. If He's pleased to take us to war, we'll go to war and we won't be able to stop it. But if He's not, we won't. We won't. I'm telling you, Christ is the fit man. But what He was fit for is what? All of that power, Mason, was in His hands so that He could carry our sins off into the wilderness.
Amen.
Lead them out there and drop them off and let them go. Third example. Fourth aspect. God's Christ carried forth our condemnation. It's chapter 16, verse 27. And the bullock for the sin offering and the goat for the sin offering. That's the second goat. The goat is the Lord's, called the Lord's goat, to be slaughtered, whose blood was brought in to make an atonement in the holy place, shall one carry forth. And somebody said, well, that one's put in there. Yes, it is, but you'll see why here in a minute, I hope. shall one carry forth without the camp, and they shall burn the fire with their skins and their flesh and their dung. And he, yeah, but it says it without putting in a word.
Yeah.
And he that burneth them shall wash his clothes and bathe his flesh in water, and afterward he shall come into the camp. So that lets me know there's one person doing this.
Yep, that's right.
Everybody is said to do it in him.
Yeah.
Isn't that what that just said?
Yeah.
This one individual, Mac, takes the hide, entrails, the dung, and takes it all out. After that animal's been slaughtered, flayed up and offered, his blood taken into the Holy of Holies. And that this one man who carries forth takes all of this other stuff without the camp and burns it up. And the whole camp of Israel said to do that. They. I like that. It says that when Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek, so did Levi.
Yeah, amen.
And Levi didn't even exist yet.
No.
Right?
Exactly.
Isn't that what the book says? And somebody said, I don't understand it. You don't have to understand God. Believe God.
Amen.
God said this is the way it is. And when Abraham gave Melchizedek tenths of all those spoils that he had, Levi was doing it too. Why? Because Levi was in his loins.
Yes, sir.
And every one of us that was chosen by God before the foundation of the world was in the person of Jesus Christ, because we were even chosen in him before the foundation of the world. And when he offered himself to God without spot, so did we.
Amen.
When he carried our sins far, far away, so did we.
Yes, sir.
When he is the fit man, took all of even the flesh, the hide, took it out and burned it, so did we. And what does it say? The book says this. Romans chapter 8. I don't want to misquote that. Romans chapter 8. And I'll just give you this one verse. Let me find it here. Verse 3 of Romans. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, what did he do? He burned sin up.
Amen.
In the flesh. What? His flesh.
Amen.
You see, the judgment God demands as payment for sins against him has been meted out on Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He is our man who carries. So he's a high priest who's fit and can carry forth that which we don't want left in the camp.
Amen.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? Mm. In other words, afflict and rest. Keep your hands off.
Amen.
Mourn your sin. Bow down to God for what you are.
Amen.
Be ashamed of what you are. Be ashamed of what I am. But just rest in Jesus Christ. Note the representation of many by the one. Isn't that? When I read that, it kind of threw me for a loop, Joe. I thought, wait a minute. I know God's Word is one.
Amen.
But then I read that and it said one. I thought, well, that's put in there. It's a bunch of people that's doing it. No. It says, and he that burneth them. Why? Because when this one individual took that stuff away, everybody else had that stamped to their account.
Yes, sir.
Stamped to their account. Paid in full. It's done. How did it get done? I'm doing nothing. I'm afflicting myself and I'm resting. But there's one man that's carried it all out yonder. You see it? And all of the high priest, the fit man, and one who carries forth, that's all one individual, Jesus Christ the Lord. You see, let me give you a quote by Robert Hawker. The salvation of the church doth not spring from any holiness wrought in us, but by the work of Christ wrought for us, not in our brokenness of heart. Though brokenness of heart will be there.
Amen.
And a work will, this is me now, and a work will be wrought in us.
Yes, sir.
That's a holy work.
Amen.
But our salvation lies in the person and work of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Robert Hawker's my brother. I pray God I really believe the Christ that he believed in. Hmm. What? In other words, just afflict, rest, keep your hands off. Keep your hands off. Here it is. Not in any, not of our brokenness of heart, but in Christ's bruised and broken body on the tree. That's the rest of Robert Hawker's quote. You see, that's when you start to feel pretty low about it. We're, you know, Christ made this one offering for sin forever, but we're never to get above this afflicting our souls. Until we awaken His likeness, we don't have the right to do anything else but afflict our souls. Keep your hands off. Just rest. And when you worry about your salvation, don't look back at your experience. Some experiences you had, you're going to say, that's a pretty good one. Others, you're going to say, oh, that's not a very good one. Look to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The one who died on the tree and accomplished the work. Oh, God of heaven and earth, make me to lie down in green pastures. Because I, being a sheep, am prone to what? Wander and not rest. Just lay down. But God's got a what? Make me.
Amen.
I need God to make me rest.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. I will never afflict, rest, and keep my hands off at the same time unless God Almighty makes me do it.
Yes.
What about you?
Yeah.
What about you? Mac, would you close us in prayer, please?
Father, we thank you for the time you've given us to spend together, brothers and sisters in Christ, to study thy word and hear thy word preached. We're so thankful for the means you sent us to speak the truth. And we thank you so much for Jesus Christ, our Lord, who died for us, and we realize and know through him he is our God and our Lord. Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless the ones in our church, the elderly and sick. I ask that to comfort their souls and give us strength to assemble ourselves together at the next meeting, at the next present time. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.